The Columbia Workshop, radio's foremost laboratory of writing and production techniques. Today, a main piece by George Fass entitled The Man Who Could Bring Pictures to Life. And as an afterpiece, an adventure in pleasant sounds by Robert Maurer and Sal Panitz. This is called, appropriately, The Sounds of Peace. Albert Ward directs both pieces for the workshop, and the special music is by Ben Ludlow. Every week, the workshop does something different. This first piece is going to be kind of wacky. It's the story of The Man Who Could Bring Pictures to Life.
Nice fire, huh? You know, sitting here on the couch, looking at the fire, makes you think of things that happened in the past and of things that might have happened. Does that to me. And I got plenty of time to think. I ain't used to this quiet life here in the middle of a bunch of mountains, trying to act like I was a farmer. Me, who was brought up in good old New York City and never seen a cow till I came here. I bet you wonder how come I'm a farmer. It's a story, all right. Happened years ago. Let me tell you about it. You know Joe's Grill off Lexington? I wonder if he's still there. Well, one summer morning, I'm sitting at the bar drinking a beer.
Okay, Mike.
Okay, Joe, strictly okay. That was Joe, see, the owner. Nice fella. Works hard. It's morning, so he's down the other end polishing up the glass. Then there's another guy, two stools down, and something tells me he's a talker.
Nice day, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. Now, you see, me, I ain't too communicative. Nice day, mm-hmm, end of conversation. But not this guy.
You know, I can bring pictures to life.
That's nice. You want a pretzel?
Oh, I mean it. I can bring pictures to life.
Sure.
No one else in the world can do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I didn't know I could do it till this morning.
Do what?
Bring pictures to life. Just like I told you.
What were you drinking this morning?
Not a drop. Do you think...
Ain't you?
No.
All right, so you can bring pictures to life. So what? Can you make a living at it? Or are you trying to sell me some of it?
Well, I just had to tell someone. Not half so much fun when no one else knows.
Okay, out with it. What's the gag?
Well, I see a picture, and I shut my eyes, and I think hard about it being real, and bang-o, it is real.
Are you in a circus or vaudeville?
No, I just do it.
Oh, you just do it.
I was hungry when I got up this morning. I hadn't eaten in 2 days.
Broke?
Broke.
Mm-hmm. A toucheroo.
I haven't asked you for anything, have I?
Don't.
I won't. I just want to tell you about her. Of course, if you don't want to listen, I can't make you.
I'll listen, but that's all I'll give you. An ear.
Well, I was hungry. Broke. Nothing left to hawk. My studio, I'm an artist, was bare. Bare except for a still life or a bowl of fruit. My head was swimming a little, and the picture seemed to be swinging on the wall. It looked funny. The painted pears and apples and grapes swinging in the frame. They looked good to eat, and so I shut my eyes. You know the way you do. And I just wish that they were real enough to eat. Hey! Fruit's falling off the picture on the floor. No, it can't be. I'm dreaming. But it's there. And the canvas is bare. It's real fruit. I'm eating it. I must find another picture. Maybe I can do it again. Here's an advertising brochure. Dismountable, prefabricated room closet. Ah, who wants that? Wait. It's a picture. I'll try it.
again. Oh, I can't move. This room is full of dismountable, prefabricated broom closets. I'll try to squeeze through here. Oh, I can just make the door and get out. Oh. I'll leave them for the landlord. Maybe he can use them. That's all that stuff there. I'd like to see the face of my landlord when he gets into the room. Must weigh a ton.
Very interesting.
When I get the right picture, I'm going to be rich.
What kind of picture is the right picture?
One with gold in it. One with jewels in it. I know where there is one, and I'll make the painted gold and jewels real. So you see, even though I am broke, I'm not worried. I can be rich any time.
Wait till you tell that to Joe, he'll brain you.
Will he now? You see that horse hanging behind the bar?
Yeah, that's Lady Nellie, winner of the Derby in 1898. Life size.
Watch.
They better not try any funny stuff.
Just watch what I'm gonna do.
Now you've done it. There goes Joe right through the door. Me, I'm following. Come on. You sure did it.
Stop. I'm out of breath. You see, I told you I could do it.
Look, brother, you tell me which way you're heading, because I'm bound the other direction.
Well, why be like that? We could have a lot of fun. You come along with me, and I'll give you half of what I get.
I want no part of this. I don't get it, but I don't want it. Goodbye.
Please.
Leave me alone. I got an appointment.
Well, you'll have enough money to retire on. Think of it. You won't have to work the rest of your life.
I like working.
You can be your own boss. Have your own business. I promise it. We'll go now to that picture of the jewels. Diamonds, rubies. Hundreds of gold pieces. You'll have half.
Well, I think I'm dreaming.
Oh, that's fine. We'll be partners. Come on.
You sure you can work it?
You saw me do it. That horse was real enough, wasn't it?
Yeah, but...
Now, look, I'll show you again. There's a knot dealer on 57th who would never buy any pictures of mine. I'd like to get even with him. Come on, let's go. Oh, here it is. See that picture in the window? A Van Brock.
No, not that one. That's a flock of sheep, and I ain't fond of mutton.
Never did like down in this place. Wait a minute, and we'd set the flock of sheep free.
No, man, there's about 300-400 of them.
The more the merrier.
You can't.
I can. Don't have negative thoughts. Well, here goes. Museum.
What are you going to do in here?
Well, I did it with the sheep. It'd be a sense of the jewels in these pictures.
So this is the museum. They never been here before. Gosh, it's a big joint. And the place is full of pictures.
Well, what did you think they kept in the museum?
Look at all the people. You know, they ought to charge admission. They clean up.
Possibly. But let's get down to business.
Oh, yeah, the picture with the jewels. What about it?
Each of the galleries has a guard.
Yeah, how are you going to get around him?
Well, we'll have to create a diversion.
Yeah, come again?
We'd have to think up some way of getting the guard out of the gallery.
Let's quit while we still got our skins.
Oh, what are you afraid of? Let me think a minute.
Hey, look at that one. Don't they have no censors in here?
That's a Rubens.
Oh, is there a whole family?
Rubens painted the picture, and Venus is her name.
Venus, huh? Sounds familiar. She's a hefty baby.
I got it. Listen, Mike. I'm going to bring her to life. Whatever else happens, she'll certainly bring the guards out of the gallery we want. It's just the diversion we need. As soon as she comes down, you and I will chase her to the next gallery. Now then, I'm closing my eyes. I'm bringing the picture to life.
Oh, it's Meine Kleider.
Gee, she talks German.
Meine Kleider! Oh, Meine Kleider!
Come on, Mike, this way. The guys are rushing in from all sides.
What's going on here?
Stop, you, stop.
Grab her, someone.
Help!
This way.
She must be crazy.
Are. See it? There are no guards around. Full of jewels. When I bring them down, you grab as much as you can, and then we'll beat it.
Get it done quick.
Gold, rubies, emeralds, diamonds. Fill your pockets.
Yeah.
Now put some in your shirt.
Okay.
No, don't bother with that.
No?
No, that's silver.
I can't hold any more. This stuff is heavy.
Quiet. Not so much noise. Quiet.
I can't help it. All these jewels make a terrible racket.
Ooh, here comes a guard. Stand still. Admire the pictures.
Don't worry. I ain't moving. This ain't no time to look at pictures. Let's get rid of this stuff and beat it.
Not now I won't. It's ours. I brought it to life, didn't I?
Well,
don't look around you. Be casual.
Me? I don't feel casual.
Now, this painting is a sample of the later works of Herbert Krenko. Cubism. You see how the woman and the armchair make a harmonious one.
I ain't never seen no woman and no armchair look like that. That ain't no picture. That's a nightmare.
Some people think so. We've got to do it again. Mike, I'm going to bring this woman to life.
Her?
Yes. That's her only chance to get out. Luckily, she's near the exit. That will bring all the guards over here, and we'll get out without being stopped.
Looks like our only chance. Go ahead. Stretch your stuff.
Right. Here comes the lady in the armchair.
The guards see her. They're coming, all right. I think they're coming for us. Run!
No walk. Be casual. Remember that.
You men, stop where you are!
Head them off! Stop!
Run! Oh, they're behind us, too.
This way, no, the other way.
Stop! Grab them!
What are you up to? And what's this you've got in your pockets, huh? Jewels.
And gold.
Thieves, are you? Come along now.
We are not thieves.
Keep quiet. Don't talk or you get a lawyer.
But they can't do this to us. I brought these things to life. I didn't steal anything.
They don't seem to understand.
Pockets full of jewels. Call the wagon, will you, Jim? These are the ones who started this. They've been in the gem room, and we've caught them with the goods. Come on, shake a leg. You're under arrest.
Why did I ever listen to you?
Call the next case.
People against Mike Jones and John Doe. Stand at the bar. You're accused of disturbing the peace, robbery, burglary, maintaining a common nuisance, larceny, both petty and grand, malicious mischief, trespass, assault and battery, blocking traffic, and driving sheep on city streets without a license. How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Well, answer, what is your plea? And let me advise you, if you plead guilty and save the time of this court, I will be lenient with you and will deduct 1 or 2 years from your sentence.
We'd better cop a plea, otherwise he throws the book at us.
Not me. I plead... not guilty.
And you?
I guess I do, too.
Don't guess. Do you or don't you?
I do. I plead not guilty with an explanation, Judge.
You'll have plenty of time to explain after the evidence of prosecuting witness. Proceed with the trial.
Officer Claiborne?
Yes, here.
Do you swear to...
I do.
Proceed. What is your evidence?
Suddenly, for no reason at all, out of nowhere, there is a mob of sheep on the street.
Sheep?
Sheep. And a sheepdog running around and barking at them in front of the store that sells pictures. Women begin screaming and fainting. Men can't believe their own eyes. 6 automobiles have collisions.
What happened?
I don't know, Your Honor, but I see these two defendants running away from the scene of the crime.
I protest, Your Honor. There's no crime involved.
Driving sheep on the city streets without a license is against the law.
You may step down, officer. Next witness.
Frank Ginn, museum guard. Do you swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Proceed.
I'm the chief guard of the museum. The two defendants were apprehended by me and my men in the museum with their pockets full of gold and jewels that they took from the gem room. Now, they came there with two accomplices who are now at Bellevue for observation. One was a lady pretending to be Venus who ran through the museum to create a diversion. While this was happening, they stole the jewels. Then, in order for them to get away, they had another accomplice, the like of which I cannot describe except that she was a woman, create a rumpus near the exit. But we caught them anyway, and after a terrific struggle, they were subdued and arrested. The jewels they stole are all there in that bag on the table.
Next witness.
Joe Dokes.
That's me.
You swear to tell the truth?
Uh-huh.
Proceed.
Well, I'm the owner of Joe's Grill. I opened early today, and Mike was there having a few beers. This other guy comes in and makes like he don't know Mike. Well, I was down at my end of the bar polishing glasses, and he was talking to Mike. The next thing I know, he takes a horse out of his pocket and puts him behind the bar.
Takes out a horse? Takes a horse out of where? Out of what?
Out of his pocket, for all I know. He didn't come in with the horse, but there he was, behind the bar. That the horse, I mean.
What happened then?
I don't know. I was over the bar and through the door before I saw what happened next. And the door wasn't open when I went through it, either. Look at me. Look at me. I look like I spent the night in a washing machine.
Do you know whether these two knew each other before they came into your bar to plan their crimes?
They made out like they didn't, but they got chummy mighty fast.
Anything else?
Sure. Hanging's too good for them.
That will be all.
Well, how about making them pay for a new door? And yeah, what am I going to do about the horse? He's still behind my bar.
That's your problem. Call the next witness.
Walter Stevens of the Stevens Art Gallery.
I am here.
Take the stand. Do you swear to tell the truth?
Indeed, I do. I rarely do otherwise.
What have you to say?
I am the owner of the Stevens Art Gallery. The picture in my window was a Van Brock 18th century after Bosch. It was on display in the window for sale at a very nominal figure. This John Doe, I've seen him before. He's tried to sell me some of his wretched daubs, although I wouldn't have them in my place. So he came to the gallery with this other man. And in sheer spite, they brought with them a flock of sheep.
You say they brought them with them, the sheep?
Well, they must have.
Go on.
The sheep broke through the plate glass window and licked the paint from that precious canvas. It's quite blank now. Ruined my picture. I've suffered a great loss.
Oh, paint another like it with one brush tied behind my back.
Silence.
Now all I have is sheep. That's all, Judge.
Are there any other witnesses? No? What have you to say in your own defense?
We are not guilty. I didn't bring the dismountable, prefabricated broom closet into the attic. I didn't bring the sheep to Mr. Stevens' store. I didn't steal any jewels.
No, what did you do?
Judge, I merely wish the picture's gone to life.
You did what?
I would look at a picture and wish that it were real. And it would come to life. Is that a crime?
No, that's no crime. But you don't expect this court to believe you could do it, do you?
I didn't believe it either, Judge, but that's what he does.
This case has at least the element of novelty. Perhaps you'd like to give a demonstration of this occult power to the court.
No, Judge, no. Don't ask him. We're in enough trouble now.
Quiet, please. Well, prisoner, would you care to demonstrate?
You'll be sorry, Judge.
On the wall behind me is a picture of Justice, twice life-size. Suppose you bring her to life, just to show the court your remarkable powers.
Well, if you insist...
Again, I ask you, don't do it.
Why not? Maybe she'll do us justice. Now then, I'm closing my eyes. I'm wishing the picture will come to life.
Justice has left the wall. He's taking off her blindfold. There goes her sword and her scales. Are you really Justice?
Yes, I am Justice. And I don't belong here.
Come on, let's get out of here. No one's paying us any mind.
I showed him.
Yeah, come on, let's go.
away. But now if they catch us...
Oh, they'll never catch us. We leave the city. Look, I have all the jewels.
Where'll we go?
How would you like to own a farm? Just the two of us. A nice, quiet farm on top of some mountain. You can work the farm and I'll paint landscapes. We can do it. We've more than enough for that.
And you wishing pictures to life? Oh, no. I'd rather live in a nice, quiet cell the rest of my life.
Look, Mike. You do it. And I'll promise never to bring a picture to life again. Will you?
Is that a solemn promise?
Yes.
It's a deal. Come on, let's go. We'll take the first train to the mountains. So you see, that's how I happened to be a farmer. Of course, I missed the city, but then if I were to go back, I'd be picked up and sent to jail. And so I stick it out. It ain't a bad life. I got a cellar and a barrel of pretzels. The hired help take care of the farm, and my partner, he paints. That's where he is now, off somewhere painting. He's happy. He has everything he wants, so he ain't doing no wishing. But you know, sometimes I wish I had the power. If I had, you know what I'd do? I'd get a picture of Joe's grill and put it down in front of me. And I'd wish...
Part two of today's doubleheader Columbia Workshop presentation, as directed by Albert Ward, follows immediately. Now by Robert Maurer and Sal Pennett, The Sounds of Peace.
It's good to pause now and again to remember them. Here, then, is an affectionate inventory. A soldier just back from the wars, meeting his young wife and child again. In the nursery, he kicked something.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Yummy leaves, there rattles all over the place.
Sounds funny. Funny, peculiar, I mean.
How, dear?
I don't know. It just does.
I guess I'm just used to it, hearing it all day.
Sounds good. I like it.
Come to think of it, I guess it is nice.
I like the way it sounds when she laughs.
She laughs like you.
Oh, go on.
No, I mean it. She reminded me of you many times.
You know what?
What?
I'm going to get Joni another rattle with two bells in it.
You sure it's for Joni?
Sure. Later in the evening... Another sweet sound of peace during that last luxurious half hour before lights out, reading in the soft, well-built bed, reaching over, snapping on the radio, and getting... Night, sweetheart.
Night, darling.
Then in the morning, the sound and smell of bacon and eggs frying.
Mmm, sounds wonderful. Smells gorgeous.
You'd better sit down and eat. You can read the paper later.
You know, if you think of it the right way, even the sound of a factory whistle is mighty pretty.
Instead of a tank, our XGI goes off to work to the soothing hum of the family jalopy. The sound of peace can also be the uneven step of an artificial leg, the grating scrape of a metal hand on a doorknob in the morning. It can be the plodding of the unemployed
or a million answers that all say no. A discouraged sigh from a beaten man acclaimed a winner long months ago. It can be the harsh sound of discord, or the raucous roar of the discontent. The sound of peace can be the tortured cry of ill-fed children.
Hey, lay off that grim stuff. I'm just back. Let me enjoy myself.
Yes. We're behind in our fun.
Let's hope the atomic age will have time for fun. Meanwhile, this is another nice sound. A clean, full-swinging drive off the golf tee.
Four!
And millions of peace-loving Americans go crazy when another kind of stick hits another kind of ball. Remember, there were countries which despised peace. They wanted glory. Now they have peace. A troubled, uneasy, costly, imposed from without peace. In those countries today, the sound of peace is a hushed quietness in gutted ruins. A low-pitched echo in the streets of Cedars. A lonesome wail on the railroad track, where the trains don't run on time. The sound of peace is the drone of planes with quiet cargo. Peace is the sound of the living and the growing, of the baby's wail at the doctor's friendly slap, the whispering razor glide of a kid's first shave, and the easy shuffle of scraping feet on a dance floor. Plaintive wail of a muted trumpet. The fizz of a siphon squirting strong. The clatter of dishes heard over high sea. The yakety-yak of nothing said. The rapid-fire tempo of a tap dancer's toe and the muffled cry of corns in a patent leather shoe. The sound of peace is a lazy yawn and the early morning awakening of the countryside. The sizzle in the marriage of the bacon to the egg. For the sound of peace in the atomic age must be a happy sound. Of varied tongues merging into universal understanding. The sound of border barriers falling under a common push. It must be the sound of ships threshing the seven seas. Tying shoreline to shoreline in healthy friendship. It must be questions asked and answers given. It must be promises given and promises kept. The sound of peace must be arranged and tuned until the balance is even and the harmony sure.
Today, in keeping with its policy of presenting unusual and experimental scripts, the Columbia Workshop offered two novelties. First, George Fass's original whimsy, The Man Who Could Bring Pictures to Life, and following this, The Sounds of Peace by Sal Panitz and Robert Maurer. Both scripts were directed for the workshop by Albert Ward with special music by Ben Ludlow. In today's cast, Billy Lynn was the man who could bring pictures to life, and John Gibson was Mike. Eric Dressler narrated The Sounds of Peace. Next week's presentation of the Columbia Workshop will be by a young San Francisco writer, Richard S. Burdick. Entitled The Tin Whistle, this story will be under the direction of Carl Beyer. Keep tuned to CBS for a last-minute roundup of world news by Columbia's correspondent, Larry Lesser, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. This is Don Baker speaking. And this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.